So let's see here. Okay, so let's get started. So we're doing the Gemara on Shabbos, Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. It's a Chanukah sugya. Okay. So the issue is I guess chashad, okay, which means suspecting people, and to the degree to which that you have to be worried about someone suspecting you. Okay, or specifically, if you have, let's say, two windows, practical cases, if you have two windows or two doors on your house, do you have to light at them both? Okay, under what conditions do you have to light at them both? What conditions do you not have to light at them both? Because some passerby may see one and may think that you didn't light at the other, or something to that effect. Okay, so it's basically the issue. That big amount on the table is. Okay, so it says, it's Amar Rav Huna. So Gimel Amud Aleph, like 10 lines from the bottom. So it says, Amar Rav Huna. Chotzer sheyish lo shnei psachim. Shvichat shtei neiros. So a courtyard, okay, so for our purposes, let's just ignore that. It says chotzer. And say it's like if a house, and Rashi kind of learns it that way, but if a house has two doorways, it needs two candles. Okay? It needs two candles. Like 10 lines or so, the two dots. Okay, so it needs two candles. So Rashi says, it says, Sheish l'bayis shnei psachim suchem l'chatzer. So it has two, a house has two doorways open to the courtyard. Shrikha shtei neros. It needs two candles, ner l'chol pesach. One candle by each doorway. Ken v'farish taima, mishim chashada. Because it's, the reason is because of chashad. Chashad means to suspect. Sheharoa yeisav, where someone who sees it will think shabayis chalok, will think that the house is really split, that there are two houses on the inside, two apartments, let's say. There are two people. So he's going to see two doors, and only one of them is going to have a candle there. So he's going to say, oh, the other guy, look at this guy, he's not lighting candles. Okay, he's not lighting candles. So therefore, if you have a house that has two doorways, the saying is you have to light them both. Okay, you have to light them both. Fine. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rava, lo Amar Nael Mishnei Ruchos, Alfa Mirucha Achas Otzarech. So Rava qualifies Rav Huna's statement and says that this whole halacha that you have to write it lying both doors is only if you have in two different directions. Okay, but if they're in the same direction, then you don't have to light. It's enough to lighten one of them. Okay, so Gemara says, Rashi says, Mishnei Ruchos Echad B'Tzafon V'Echad B'Darom. I'm sorry. One in the north and one in the east. So what's Rashi? What's the point of that, Rashi?
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. He's telling you it means even adjacent directions. Certainly if it's north-south, certainly then you're going to have to light them both. But it means even two directions. Don't think it means opposite directions. It means even if they're at a corner, adjacent directions, you still have to light above. Okay? Still have to light above. Okay, fine. So that's what Rava's saying. Rava's qualifying says the whole halacha here of chashad, of having collided both, is only if they're in two different directions, two sides of the house, but if they're in the same side of the house, there's no problem. So my time, the Gemara asks, why? What's the reasoning for Rava? Why differentiate? Ilema mishum chashada. I'm sorry, or my time. What's the reason for this whole halacha, assuming we go along with Rava's qualification? What's the reason? Ilema mishum chashada, if you're worried about chashad, people suspecting. Okay, I'm going to use chashad. Okay, chashad means suspecting. I'm going to keep using that word. So that's chashad means people suspecting. So even shon chashad, chashad adaman. Who are we worried about? Who's going to suspect you? Ilay ma chashad adalma. If you're worried about some random guy in the world suspecting you, a random passerby, afilu berocha chaznami liboy. You should even need it in one direction. Even if they're on one side. And if it's are we only concerned about someone within your city suspecting you? In which case, you should only, even if it's in two directions, you shouldn't need it. Okay, so we have to explain this. This doesn't add up, right? But definitely, I mean, one thing which is clear from reading the Gemara, even if we don't understand exactly what's going on, is that the Gemara is not sure about what are you worried about. Are you worried only about someone within your city? Or are you even worried about someone from a different city? Someone from a random guy passing by? Which we have to explain. I mean, what's that question? And why should you? Why should you only be worried about people in your city or people outside? You know, you're worried about everyone. You're worried. But the Gemara is taking that as a legitimate concern. It says if you're worried about anybody, then even in one direction you should be concerned. Then if you're worried about only people in your city, then even in two directions you shouldn't be concerned. So why? So let's see Rashi. Rashi explains. Okay, so he says. So people from a different city passing by in the street. So in other words, if you're worried about someone from another city who doesn't know anything about the demographics and how the houses and the architecture of these houses, so he'll think, even if they're on the same slide, two front doors, he'll say maybe it's split, right? I mean, indoor houses have that, two front doors, right? And it's split. So he'll say, oh, look at that, two front doors, this house is split, and only one guy's lighting. Right? So if you're worried about that, then who cares if they're on one side of the street? One side of the street isn't going to help you. One side of the one direction. So I shouldn't help you. A guy's going to wonder, suspect, that this house is split in the middle. So why don't you have to worry about it? So it must be the fact that you don't have to worry. It means you don't have to worry the guy's going to think it's split. So why not? Because we're only worried about people in your town. And if you'll tell me you're only worried about chashad of a guy who's really in the city, who lives in the city, and that means it's someone who already knows, right? If you're in the city, you know the house is not split, you know it's only one house. So if you're telling me that's what you're concerned about, so then who cares even if it's in two directions? Even if it's in two directions, the guy knows that the house isn't split. He knows it's only one house. So if it's only one house, so then what are you worried about? You know, anyone in the city knows only one house. So if he sees it in one direction, not the other one, he'll realize, oh yeah, there's only one person who lives there, so they only had to put it at one window. Okay, the Gemara is taking for granted that intrinsically, if you have two windows, you only have to put it in one. Okay, because it's a din, is your house needs a candle. So why should, in theory, it doesn't, now it's true, you put it by a window or by the door, but it doesn't mean that the mechayev of them is a mitzvah. What obligates you is not the door of the house. What obligates you is the house. But where do you do it? At the door. That's just the makom is by the door. But if you have two doors, it's not two. Intrinsically, it's not going to be two chiyuvs. Intrinsically, the chiyuv is generally the house. It's one chiyuv. So it says intrinsically, really, you only have to do it by one. It just, there's a problem of suspecting you. Okay, so again, the problem is that if we're worried about someone from out of town who doesn't know anything about the house, so then even if it's in one direction, we should suspect that he's going to think the house is split, and he's going to think you didn't light. One guy didn't light, and the other door. And if it's talking about someone who knows the dimensions of the way the house is split up, so then who cares if it's one side or two sides? What's really the difference? Right? In other words, what's Rava's point? Who really cares if it's one side, two sides? Okay? Okay, so my answer is no. It says really Salolam really Mishmachshav Dmei Masa. Really we're only concerned about people in the city, in your town. V'zimnin d'mechalfi b'hai v'lo chalfi b'hai. And sometimes they're going to pass by one side and they're not going to pass by the other side. V'amri ki yechidu hai pitzcha lo'adlik v'ach pitzcha nami lo'adlik. And they'll say, so someone in the town who knows the house is split. So he knows that it's one big house. Okay, he knows one big house. So if it's on the same side of the street, same side of direction, so he's going to walk by, he'll see them both. And he knows that there's only one person living there. I'm sorry, he'll see both doors, he'll walk by, he'll see both doors. He knows only one person's living there. He'll see lit in the right door, so that's it. So he knows he lit. But if it's in a corner, two different side directions, so a guy's going to walk by only one side. He knows it's one big house, but he's going to see this one window. He's going to say, oh, look at this, Mr. So-and-so didn't light Hanukkah candles this year. And he'll say, the other one, yeah, well, you know, light here, he probably didn't light over here also. And that's what we're worried about. Okay? Right, okay. Okay, good. Why is he saying that? He knows Allah is going to light in one. So what, he sees one and then he says, oh, it must be the guy who light another one. I mean, maybe he should be down on the coast a little bit. Maybe he's, what's that? Okay, hold on a second. Why is the halacha so? Halacha is a person who's supposed to judge people favorably. Well, you're worried that a guy is just gonna. I mean, the halacha is you have to light Hanukkah candles, and the guy walks by and he sees in one window. But what does that show? So I didn't light in one window. But everyone is only lighting one window, right? I mean, it's a 50-50 chance. He happened to walk by this window, so now he's gonna say the other one didn't have also. So why should he assume that? If there's an assumption, look, are you worried about a guy who's not going to even just not even walk out of house and say, oh, you know, I think so and so didn't light Hanukkah candles. You don't have to worry about that because you assume a guy does a mitzvah. So now he sees one window. Every single person who has two windows is going to light in only one window intrinsically. So why should he suspect you just because he sees one window that doesn't have it? Now we're worried the guy's going to assume that you're violating the mitzvah. I mean, why not? Why shouldn't he assume that you're not part of the mitzvah? And listen, don't be so lazy. Walk to the other side and then start suspecting me. Right? I mean, it just sounds like a far-fetched type of a thing. Who does this? Who's doing this? He's just making up this whole theory that that you didn't do another one. I mean, it's true. It does maybe affect the probabilities, but if there's a chazkus kashus, chazkus kashus. Okay, that's a good question. Anderson, what's the problem of chashad? What's all the concern? Who cares? Well, that's kind of the Gemara's going to ask. Yes, who says you even care about these things? But that's part of our problem here. That's part of the question. That's going to be part of the question. What's this whole deal? Who cares? Look, let him think what he wants. What do I care? I did the mitzvah properly. What do I care about him? This guy wants to be a jerk and suspect that I only lied. Look, that's his problem. So what's he going to do? Is he going to start publicizing that in light? What do I care about this? Especially in this case, it just seems like a far-fetched thing. Seems like, why does the guy suspecting me? Okay, I'll show you an interesting question. Basically, it's a support for this question. Okay, a support for this question. I saw this in Encyclopedia Talmud. I looked in Chashad. It brings down all different things. So I saw this one thing. It's with the Rambam. I mean, you may know it all even. His Rambam is in Hilchos Tefillah, Parak Vav, Halach Aleph. It says, "Also, Adam Lavar Achori Beit Hakneset B'Shalosh Hatzibur Mespalim." You're not allowed to walk by a shul. Behind the door, past the door of the shul while they're davening. Okay? While they're davening. Why? Yeah, it looks like you're avoiding davening. Like, what, you don't care about davening? You're walking by? Unless you're carrying something. If you're carrying something, it's clear that you're busy. But otherwise, it looks like not just you avoid davening, it's like, you deny God or something like that. Like, well, they're davening, why don't you join them? And the guy doesn't join them. Oh, you're basic shnei psachim, shnei ruchos. Or, let's say there are two doors to the shul. So if you walk by one of the doors, then it's not a problem. Why? Shehoroa Omer, because the observer will say, Shema Yelech Yikanis Vesachachim, maybe the guy will go to the other door. Okay? He's not going to see you later in shul. It's a big shul. I don't know. Okay, this is the chayin, Ma Yabir Shnei Bate Knisios. Or if there are two shuls in town. There are two shuls in town. Yomer Harawa, Shami El Chabez against the Ragilba. Maybe he's going to go to the other shul. Maybe that's where he's going. Okay, it's funny. He says, I'll read further anyway, because it's interesting. Yomer Tefillin Barosho, but if he's wearing tefillin, Mutter Lavar, then he's allowed. Afa Pisha Ein Shom Echad Mikhalelo. Even if you don't have any of these conditions, if you're wearing tefillin, it's okay. Shat Tefillin Mechichan Lov Shiro Deif Acher Mitzvahs, because the tefillin shows that he's a guy who runs after mitzvahs. Ve'inom Mimivat Le'at Tefillah. He's not a guy who's Mimivat Le'at Tefillah. So then they'll say, I don't know, something's up. Yeah, I don't know, he's not carrying a bundle, he's not, but he must have a good excuse. He's wearing tefillin. He's not a kind of a guy who's just a bum. But if he's not, right? The point is that you see, is a guy could see you walking by one door and say, oh, he walks by this door, he probably walks by the other door. But apparently, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that, right? But apparently, by Ner Chanukah, we do for some reason, right? I mean, isn't this the exact same case? Right? Yeah, I'm not the. This isn't my question. And the Svaki Theory of Talmud, they brought down this question. I forgot. They must have four or five different answers to this question. I mean, it's an open problem. I mean, it's a Gemara. It's not the Rambam, it's a Gemara. It's a Gemara, and this is a Gemara. It's just a steer between Gemaras. It's over there, you have to worry. Over here, you have to worry about this thing. And over there, you don't have to worry about this thing. What's the difference? They sound like the exact same thing. Okay, so you'll say, so one that may be tempted to say, this is Pursuma Nisa, this is Ner Chanukah, after all, you have to publicize the miracle. Publicizing the miracle is different, the standards are harsher. Here, the whole mitzvah is to publicize it, and therefore, blah, 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 whatever, something, right? Therefore, you can work something out. Okay, you may want to say that. Okay, but don't. But I mean, it is a problem. I mean, so you, at the end of the day, bottom line, let me ask you a question. So, well, if they're on the same slide, you don't have to worry, right? So why? Why don't you have to worry that a guy from a different town is going to think that your house is split? Right? So why not? Right? I mean, I understand. If you're only worried, given the premise that you're only worried about people in your city, I understand. But what about other cities? So what, no one ever walks by in other cities? Is that like an unheard of phenomenon? An uncommon type of a thing? I mean, Gemara's have a case of an Achsanoi, a guest or something, right? I mean, well, there's no, is it such a rare thing that someone should walk by that we don't have to even assume that such a thing would happen? It's hard to believe. I mean, you're talking about cities here, so presumably in a given city there may be some foreigners. Not every guy is a native of that city and knows the house structure of every, you know, of all the houses. I mean, it's not just talking about, I mean, it's talking about a real guy who lives in the city. So why aren't we worried about that? Right? I mean, Gemara just says, well, what are we worried about? Are we worried about this or are we worried about that? I mean, how, shouldn't you be worried about everything? We get to choose what we're worried about? Right, yeah. It's a good question. Does Rav Huna agree with Rava? Does Rav Huna saying it across the board? You always need two Neiros, and then Rava is arguing and qualifying it and saying that it's only, no, it depends on if it's two directions or one direction. Or no, Rava's just explaining what Rav Huna meant. Rav Huna meant, that's what Rav Huna meant. Okay? Now, if you say that Rav Huna argues, then he holds it in both, you know, you need it in both directions, I guess you have to ask why. So you could say because he's worried about the chshad of Neimasa, of other people. He's worried about chshad for everybody, so therefore even in it, right? In which case, what I was saying is Avin Maskana is really a machlokas. Right? It's not going to make much of a difference, right? But that would be a machlokas. Unless you somehow want to say Ravuna holds intrinsically he needed it in both doorways. Which would make a bigger machlokas. So that's fine, let's leave it as an open question. I don't really know. I don't know if it's going to affect much. I mean, if you learn it's just a question of you worry about chashad of this year or the other, then that's just we're going to find it anyways, because that's how we know it's gone. If you learn that a Rav Huna holds intrinsically you needed it too, then I guess that would be a whole different machlokas. But then it's a different sugya anyway, so let's leave that alone. Okay, it's interesting. I didn't think about that, but maybe you're right. I don't know. Okay. I think David's theory would be good. Okay, so for as of now, in theory, you could argue David's theory would be good. Is that why are you worried about this thing altogether? Who cares what anybody thinks? But this is Pirsum Enisa, it's publicizing the miracle, so we do care what people think. If you don't care what anyone thinks, then don't even light a candle outside. But the whole idea of lighting candles, presumably, is because we care what people think. Right? Reasonable. Reasonable assumption. But let's see. The Gemara asks, who told you, who says that we're worried about chashad? Right? Maybe we don't even care about chashad. Who cares? Who says that chashad is even something to consider? Okay? So according to this, David, according to you, you could just say, well, in general, we don't. This is just a special halacha ben Hanukkah. Okay? But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara doesn't say anything like that. It says, no, we see precedent for worry about chashad from Peah. Okay, now Peah is a halacha that when you have a field, if you're a farmer, so you have to leave over a corner of your field. Okay, leave over the last corner of your field for the poor people to take. Okay, and there's a quantity, I forgot the quantity, 1/60th or something, I don't know, whatever. There's a portion of your field you have to leave over for poor people to take. You can't take full possession of your field, you have to leave over the last corner, but you harvest the rest of the field, you leave over the last corner for the poor people. Okay? So the Gemara wants to know, Amar Shimon, Bishvil Arba Dvarim Amra Torah L'Aniach Peah B'Sof Sadehim. So the halacha is that you leave the peah. Okay, so there's a question what this means. But Rashi learns it means that you leave the peah. Let's say the harvest takes a month. Okay, the harvest to cut all the produce takes a month. So the halacha is that you have to leave it at the end. You harvest everything else and you leave this standing. You can't just in the middle of the harvest say, okay, I'm here, come get it. It doesn't work that way. Any of them are poor people. No, you can't just say that. Rather, you have to leave it over at the end. Okay, that's bal techala. I mean, you should not completely harvest your field. Okay, that's halacha. You can't complete the harvest. You can't finish it. So what does it mean you can't finish it? It means before the end, stop before the end and let them finish it. So the aniyim are the ones who finish the harvest. So they finish it. What does that mean? It must mean that you are not doing the last stuff. They're doing the last stuff. So you can't just give them in the middle of the harvest and then you finish it up. No, they leave them the rest. That's the way Rashi learns. The Rambam learns it means the end of your field. The edge. Geographically, the edge, near the boundary. Near the border. But that's not, Rashi's not learning that way. Okay? Fine. So what there says, there are four reasons why the Torah said this. It's a funny kind of a statement. Four reasons why the Torah said it. It's like, it sounds like it's a philosophy of the thing. Why did the Torah say to do this? Four reasons. Okay? One of them is Mnei Gazel Aniyim. Okay? Well, I'll read them all. Mnei Gazel Aniyim, because stealing from Aniyim, Mnei Bittel Aniyim, because you're going to waste the Aniyim's time, Mnei Chashad, and because of Chashad, they're worried, they're suspecting you, Mishum Baal Techala, and because of the Pasuk, which says, don't completely consume your field. Okay, so Gemara's going to explain them one at a time. So it says, Mnei Gazel Aniyim, Shlo Yirav Alabai Yishap, No Yov Yom Rekrovo Ani Harizupaya. So we're worried is that what's going to happen is let's say you were allowed to do it in the middle of the harvest. Okay, again, the middle I mean chronologically. Okay, in the middle of the harvest. So I know what you're going to do. You're basically going to wait, do your harvest. Wait till there's no aniyim around. Wait till no poor people around, except one guy who's your relative, your cousin who's a poor guy, and say, hey, quickly, here it is. Here's the 1/60th of the field, which is peya, and then he's going to go get it. And the halacha of peya is that it has to be a hefker for all aniyim to take. Okay, to leave it open for all aniyim. But you're going to violate it. It's going to lend itself to abuse, and you're going to end up stealing from the other aniyim. Okay? So, but now that you have to leave it at the end, so all the aniyim are going to see that. Everyone's going to know. They're going to see, oh, what's Mr. Farmer Jones up to? Oh, he did 80%. Well, everyone gets, get ready, another month, or whatever it is. So everyone will be well known when it's going to, when it's coming out, when it's coming public. Right? Good? So that's the first reason. So the Torah set up this way because it will prevent gazel, will prevent stealing from the other aniyim. That's the first reason. And the second thing is that if you had it and do it any time, then the aniyim are going to have to sit around waiting to find out the right when he's going to do it. But the fact that it's at the end, so the aniyim could stay home and they'll become public when it's time. So this way you don't have to waste the time with aniyim. They don't have to just sit there by the door, by the edge of your field. They'll know. Okay, second reason. Mibnei hachashad. Because of chashad, shlo yovim v'shavim omen tavu meiro shlo adam shlo hinyach peya v'sadehu. Because last passerbys, right? Let's assume the halacha was that you're allowed to do it in the middle. So you can do it in the middle, right? You can do it, let's say, 50% mark. You can leave some over. Then the aniyim are going to cut down all that, you know, their percentage. And then you're going to keep harvesting. Someone's going to walk by your field when you're finishing up, and they'll say, oh, look at this, the guy's finishing the whole harvest, he never left Peya. But they don't know that you really took it earlier. So in order to avoid people suspecting you in that manner, the Torah says that you have to leave it at the end. And you leave it at the end, it'll be clear and noticeable to anybody who passes by, that they'll see that you're doing it. Right? I guess we don't say, maybe someone passed by in the middle, and say, maybe, well, he's not doing it. But I guess they know, the halacha is uniform. Everyone's going to do it at the end. So if it were open-ended, so people it wouldn't be uniform. Anyone could do it at their own time. So someone will go at the end and say, oh, this guy didn't do it. Which, again, is the same funny problem, is that if you could do it any time, so what do you have to worry? A guy's going to come at the end and say, oh, well, he didn't do it at the end. Why should he do it at the end? Why would you think he should do it at the end? What kind of thing? Just because he didn't do it at the end, he didn't do it, so he did it in the middle. Right? The whole thing is funny. But this is Reb Shimon, is a braisa. The Rav Huna is and Rav Rava are Amoraim. Okay, they're later on. But the Tanan, the Brisa, is an earlier source, which is saying this is the reason why the Torah said, from the Torah, tracing it to the Torah, why the Torah said to leave Peya at the end of the field, at the end of the harvest. Okay. And then the Gemara is funny. Mnei Baal Techala. The last one is because of the Pasuk. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? All of them are trying to explain why the Pasuk says to do it at the end. So that can't be a fourth reason. So the verse says, no, it means Amar Bnei Ramayim. It means because there'll be trickers who say that they did it and they didn't really do it. Okay, and so the people who try to fool people and say, I took off pay and I didn't. So the fact that it's at the end, no one's going to be able to do that. Okay, so that's the fourth reason. The first one, Gezel Aniyim. Now, Gezel Aniyim is you're going to do it, but you're going to do it to a time where only a relative is nearby. This is a guy who you're not going to do it all together.
Okay?
I mean, whatever. They're a little different. Similar, though. Okay, fine. So, basically, the punchline, though, okay, I mean, I read through the whole thing, but the punchline, the one relevant here is the chashad. So it says, how do you know you have to worry about chashad, that someone's going to think you didn't light candles, it's going to suspect you that you didn't light candles, right? That just like you didn't light candles on this side, you also didn't light candles on this side. Well, this brisa, Rabbi Shimon is saying, is that that's what the Torah said. That's the third reason why the Torah said that you have to put pay at the end of the thing. Because you're worried that if you put it at any time, someone's going to walk by, see that you're not doing it at the end, and say, oh, you didn't do it the whole time. So you see that this is the type of thing that you have to worry about. So just like you have to worry about it by pay, you also have to worry about it by Ner Hanukkah. Problem, right? So it's hard to say. I mean, I don't know. I'm not an expert in peya. But I'm venturing to guess that there's no halacha of piersum ha-peya. Okay? Of publicizing your peya. Okay? It doesn't sound right. But I don't know. Look, I mean, I guess that's one route. If you want to stick with your piersum ha-nes route, publicize, since you have to publicize a miracle, then you'd have to somehow show that that's the mitzvah by peya. To be a mefarsim in the miracle. To the imana, the tztaka. But I mean, it's hard to, I mean, it's a hard route. So if you accept that, it doesn't seem, definitely the simple way of reading this Gemara is not that this is something unique to Ner Chanukah because of the publicizing the miracle, but it seems to be a general principle. A general principle. Okay, general principle of Chashad, which is learned from Peah, but it's something which applies by Ner Chanukah also. And Rava and Rahuna are deriving their principle from the halacha by Peah, which is based on the Deoraisa, which is why the Torah did this. Right? Okay?
Are there any other...
Good question. You read this, so you read this Gemara, and you think that Chashad is like this unheard of phenomenon. And as the Gemara is basically saying, by Ner Chanukah, you have to light the candles because you worry about Chashad. The Gemara says, Chashad? Who ever heard of that? Who said you have to worry about Chashad? So the Gemara says, oh, I'll show you, we found a source. The source is the Salach HaVaypaya. So you would ask a question, are there any other cases? So it turns out there are many, many other cases. Okay? Many other cases, and that's the question. The question is, what do you mean? How do you know you worry about Chashad? There are a lot of Gemaras, and not only that, it's from the Pasuk. It's a Deraisa. Okay? It's a Pasuk that says you have to be worried about Chashad. And the Pasuk is really, it's V'yisem Nikiyim Me'Hashem U'Mi Yisrael. Okay? Which means that you should be clean. Okay? I guess like some sort of figurative clean. From Hashem and from the Jews. So to speak, on Hashem's scorecard and on people's scorecards, so to speak. Okay? In the eyes of God, you should be clean in the eyes of God and in the eyes of man. Okay? And the eyes of the Jewish people. Okay? And the case is... The case in the Torah is by Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven and Shechat Shev and Menashe. Which basically a story was that, so originally there's two stories. The first story is the story of the spies, that the Jews were afraid, they sent spies to go into Eretz Yisrael, and they were afraid, the spies got frightened by the enemy, and they basically said, we can't do it, and they got all scared. And it was a terrible sin, and all the Jews decided, look, we're too frightened, God can't, they backed out, and they didn't trust that God would help them. And that was basically doomed their mission and caused them to be stuck in the desert for another 40 years. For 40 years. Right? So that was a terrible sin. But the fact is that they weakened the people, the spies ended up, and the spies got punished. I mean, they weakened the morale of the people, and the people should have been confident in God. God, after all, took them out of Mitzrayim and all the miracles and all that. And God told them he's going to bring them in, so that was a terrible sin. Then, fine. Now, finally, later on, when they were going to enter Eretz Yisrael again, so they basically destroyed certain Sichon, Og, they destroyed certain kingdoms on their way into Eretz Yisrael. Okay? As they were nearing Eretz Yisrael, there were some certain enemies who were close to Eretz Yisrael, not actually across the Yarden, but on the first side of the Jordan River. Right? So before they were the enemies. And they had to fight them also, and basically God saved them. He made them victorious. And what happened was, is that once they did that, they basically took over those lands. And Bnei Gad, Gad Reuven, and Chatzi Sheva Menashe, two and a half of the tribes, said, this is great land. They were basically heavy shepherds. And they said, this is great grazing land. Could we just have this land? We don't need to go across Eretz Yisrael. We might as well just take this land. God captured this land for us. Let us just have this land. So basically, Moshe got very upset at them and said, and to accuse them that they're going to basically cause the whole incident again. You give off the appearance as if you were afraid to enter again into Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to basically cause all the Jewish people to get frightened again by this request, and haven't you learned anything? And he basically, he accused them. He blamed them. Right, exactly. So then they said, no, that's not what's going on here. We're willing to fight. In fact, let us do is let us leave our families here, our wives and children here, in this great, in this land, and we're going to go fight, and we're not going to come back for 14 years, 7 years of conquest and splitting up the land. We're not going to come back until the whole land is conquered. And this will be clear that we're very willing to fight. We're not afraid. We just happen to think this is a great land for us. Okay, this is a great land for us. So the pasuk says, when Moshe is telling them what to do, he's basically told them the terms. He says, we'll conquer the land, and then you could return. Okay, after we conquer the land, you can return. V'isem nikiyam Hashem u'Yisrael. And then you will be pure from vis-a-vis God and vis-a-vis the Jewish people. Okay, so it means, right, and then you'll be able to get your original land, which means that you will, so to speak, from not only vis-a-vis God that you'll be following, in line with your condition, but it'll be in the eyes of the Jewish people, it'll be clear to all the people that you are not doing this out of a fear of fighting, but you're doing it because you wanted those lands. That's what it means, that you'll be clean in God's eyes and in the people's eyes. Okay, so that means that shows that one is obligated to be concerned about what the people think. So even if they really had true motivations, that they really were concerned about, they weren't afraid to fight, but people think that they're going to be afraid to fight. And that fear could end up causing all the Jewish people to get afraid of entering Eretz Yisrael. So they were obligated to be concerned and to clean their slate, not only in God's eyes, but even in the people's eyes. So this is where you learn this universal principle of chashad, that you have to be worried about people's eyes as well as God's eyes. Yeah, so this pasuk, by the way, the pasuk I just read you is in Bamidbar, Lamed Beis, Chaf Beis. Okay? In Matas. Okay? In fact, if you look on the Torah Tumim on this pasuk, I'll show you, there are a few Gemaras which say, there's another pasuk also in Yoshua, which is when this actually happened, and which also says there's another pasuk in Mishlei, which also says. It says there's a source in Torah and V'man Ksuvim that you have to be worried about Chashad. You have to be concerned about this type of thing. Okay, so this is a phenomenon. This is a principle, and there are gemaras about it. And again, if you look from the Frankel, I found. Okay, there are many halachas. So, for instance, in Matnas Aniyim, okay, Perachas. Perachas. Taschas, or Tas Yud, how about? So if let's say it says if a person is let's say a gabbai tzedakah. So a gabbai tzedakah is the guy who collects money for a charity. So let's say someone owes him money and they pay him back money in the street. So he's walking around making his collections for people, and I guess he puts all his money in a special pouch for a tzedakah in a pushka, let's say. So if someone pays him back his money, you can imagine this case. So let's say a guy walking around with a pushka, and someone pays him, I owe you a dollar. You give him a dollar, and he takes it and puts it in his pocket. You realize that's not going to look too good, right? So he says, the halacha is, he shouldn't do that, but he puts it into the pushka, and when he gets home, he'll take it out. Okay? Okay, and it says another thing, when he counts the money, he shouldn't count it by twos. Okay, I'm not sure exactly the thing. I think if he counts it by twos, it will look like he's, one, two, three, but really, it's two, four, six. Like he puts down two, and instead of, let's say, there are 100, he does 50 numbers. Okay, one, two, So like, so to speak, like when you count, let's say, $20 bills to count 100, you go through 5 and you say 1, and another 5 and you say 2, So you shouldn't put down 2 and count 1, because it will look like, why is he only counting as 1? Because he's giving 1 to tzedakah and 1 he's going to keep for himself. So basically there's a whole series of halachos of the guy who collects the money for tzedakah, he shouldn't do it. I mean, this is the last halacha in a few of them. So it says, why? Menech shad. Because chashad, shnemar, v'yisem nikim, Hashem v'Yisrael. Okay, that's what I'm in Perek Tavs, halacha yod in Manas Aniyam. Okay, so it's open, right? This is chashad, and it's based on the Gemara. I think it's in Baba Basra. Yeah, Baba Basra. I think so, yeah. So and if you look there on the Frankel on there, he quotes other Rambams. Okay, other Rambams about this Chashad. So there's one in Deos Parakei, one in Surah B'Yachav Beis, Ishos Tezvav, also another one in Manasaniyim, another in Tamidim Musafim, another in Bechoros, another in Avadim, two in Avadim, another in Shechinim, another in Sheila. Okay, so a lot of Rambams. I looked through them all. They're basically, it's a good idea. I don't know if I want to do it right now. But, I mean, it's a good idea to do, because you want to kind of figure out, I mean, this is a general principle, so why is our Gemara not like that principle? You know? So, like, for instance, in Isuri Bia, maybe I'll just pick a few of them. But I'll just show you, I mean, it's right, kind of the problem is going to be, this is a universal principle, so what's our Gemara talking about? Who said we worry about Chashad? It is a universal principle. Right? So, if you want to, you have to differentiate between the universal principle and this. So, you seem to be, you want to get some sort of a flavor about the universality of this thing, and what, you know, what's different about this case. So, I mean, there are a bunch of them, and that's what's good about Frankel is, you know, he brings them all down. So, you know, I mean, otherwise he'd have to be some sort of big bucky or whatever, right? But otherwise, I mean, he just basically has everything here for you. He did the work. Okay, so for instance, there's a halacha here in Isuri Bia. It says Chafes Tazayin. Isuri Bia Chafes Tazayin. It says it's not a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to live in a courtyard where there's an almana, where there's a widow. Even if he doesn't have yichud with her, even if he's not in private with her, mnei chashad, it's chashad. People suspect him. Elam kino yesh no yimo, unless he's married, unless he's living with his wife. Okay, and also it's forbidden for a almana to have a dog. Because chashad, maybe she's almana and she's sleeping with the dog. I think that's what it's talking about. And also a woman is not allowed to own male servants. Okay, a woman's not allowed to own male servants because people suspect her. Because chashad, people say she's sleeping with them. Okay? So that's, for instance, so in areas of Bia, Isuri Bia, that's a big one. A lot of them also are in areas of, have to do with the collecting, guys collecting money. That you can't do things in a way which looks like you're stealing. Okay? There's also by Talmud Chacham. Hey Tas. This is actually interesting. In Deos. That's Hey Tas. Hey Tas in Deos. Let's see here. Deos is the beginning there. Yeah. Says that. You're right. He says the Talmud Chacham can't go out with like a perfume on. Perfume or what do they call it? Cologne. Okay, or with like cologne type of clothing. And he shouldn't put like his perfume on his hair. But if he, unless it's to get rid of a bad smell, that you're allowed, fine. And he also shouldn't go out alone at night. Unless he has a very special, specific time where he goes out to learn. Okay? All these things are because of chashad. Because you're worried that people are going to suspect that he's doing these things in order to find a woman. Okay? In order to whatever, to get some sort of a sexual thing. So Talmud Chacham, it's funny. It's like a different halach of chashad for a Talmud Chacham. Right, which is strange. I mean, it's chashad, chashad. And if you're worried that someone's going to suspect that, even a regular person, right? But apparently there's different halachos for a Talmud Chacham. Okay, so that's another area you have that. And another one you have, let's see here. Ishos Tazvav Tazayin. Ishos Tazvav Tazayin. Ishos. Okay, that's another one, that a woman shouldn't stay without a man, because people are going to suspect that she's sleeping with someone. And she shouldn't stay single. Fine, whatever, that's a different issue. Similar to the one we did already. Then you have, let's say, by Tamidim. Vavay. Tamidim Safim Vavay. Talking about people who work. Oh yeah, right. This is the thing: is that if you are tamei, okay. So people who are tamei, let's say you're doing the avoda. So you're supposed to do the you're a kohen. You're supposed to do the avoda and the kohen. Okay. Basically, there's a certain point in the Tamei, there's a certain point in the process of Voda, that everyone who's Tamei, and if you're Tamei, you're not allowed to go and do stuff in the Beis HaMikdash. So you stand, you go to a certain gate. So everyone will see that the reason why you're not doing your Avoda is not because you're being lazy and not doing the Avoda, but it's because of it's because you're Tamei. Okay, so you want to make that clear to people. You're not just trying to think out on your Avoda. You know, but you're there, you're ready, but you're not yet ready to bring it because you have to wait until you become Tahor. Which I haven't been reading are like monetary. A lot of other ones are related to monetary issues to make sure that you doesn't look like you're stealing. Okay, like again, you can look at the rest. I mean, the Rambam, if you want to look at the Frankel quotes, I'm in Perek Tas on Tas Tas Yud. Okay, he brings them all down. Okay, it's a little bit tedious, but I mean, you check them. How long does it take to check them? Each one is quick. And again, I think it's part of the problem. It's a problem. It is a problem. Is the Gemara's? I guess what you were asking is like it sounds from this Gemara that this thing is unheard of. But it's very common. And all these things, I mean, I didn't look up all the Gemaras, but presumably all these things come from Gemaras. It's not, I'm not making these things up. I mean, they come from the Gemaras. So this is a very common thing, Chashad. So what's the Gemara asking? How do you know you're worried about Chashad? Whoever heard of this thing? And the answer, I'll pay you. What do you mean? This is a common problem out there. And why is it that all of a sudden the Gemara just heard of this now? Yeah, no, yeah, it's a deraisa. Why doesn't the Gemara quote? Because we came in Hashem Yisrael. I mean, isn't that a good enough? It's a pasuk. It's a pasuk, and the Gemara talks about that. The Gemara, if you want to find where the Gemara is bringing up that pasuk, the Gemara in it talks about it. It's the pasuk. The Gemara on that pasuk, Torah Tumim brings down a few Gemaras that bring it down. That's a good question. Matt's asking you. So if you don't do it, is it pshat that it's a separate halacha, or are you mitzvah nechanik if you only light it in one window? That's a good question. Do you say that this is the mitzvah, or do you say that no, it's you did the mitzvah, but it's a separate thing, it's a separate problem of chashad? So this is actually interesting. It's a good question. Well, let's see. What about by peah? Right? You got the same question by peah, right? So by peah, you may think it's different because it's deraisa. So the deraisa, this is the Gemara saying this is why the Torah set it up to be in that corner of the field. But the Rambam says it's interesting. The Rambam by peah is very interesting. He says, you have to put it at the end of the field. Now, the Rambam learns it means the end edge, the corner, the boundary of the field, physical boundary. So the Aniyim will know where to go. So that it will be noticeable to people who pass, come and go. And you won't be suspected. People won't suspect you. And because of the trickery, so you scav and lictar call, the Omar Aleilu Sharono, so. Coats there, so vasada, but chilon sada, and the guy will trick it and tell people he did it different times. Vod, okay, fine. Yeah, all the reasons, okay? He says, Avar vini achapeya, but chilas asada, oba emtsaa. If he does it at a different place, harizu peya. It is peya. Okay, it is peya. It's just a separate problem. Okay, but soro shiniach, but so vasada, fine. Oh, it is peya, so if you do it in the middle, it's peya. But then you have to, so you gave a certain amount in the beginning of the field, but then you have to then do it on the end of the field. For whatever's left over, whatever you haven't done yet, you still have to do on the end of the field. Okay? Well, I think it's saying if you only. But if you didn't give yet on the whole rest of the field, so you have to give, if you didn't give enough. Because the thing is like, whatever is, you have to leave at the end, the amount that would be fit for whatever is left. I'm not sure exactly the case. I have to look at it more carefully. Maybe you can look at it. But it seems though it works though. I mean, well, it's only for the additional part though. It seems like, well, it's a funny kind of thing. I mean, it doesn't say it's not payah. Just say, what do you mean it's not even payah? They say, no, it is payah, apparently. Even though it's not the end, it is payah. It's just like, you still, for whatever leftover, you have to do either your yotze, but if there's any leftover, you have to do it, or maybe you have to do another thing for some reason. I mean, it's not clear, but it seems like it does have a shame of payah. It's not like nothing. Now, by Ner Chanukah, the Rambam isn't clear. Okay, by Ner Chanukah, the Rambam isn't clear. It's kind of a good open question, but I'll read the halacha in the Rambam, and then I'll tell you what the Ran says. The Ran on this also. He takes it up. But let me first read the Rambam. Did you look at the Rambam? You guys look at that? So the Rambam says like this. He says, Chatzar sheyesh lo shnei psachim. Courtyard has two doors, b'shtei ruchos, in two directions, shtricha shtei neiros. It needs two candles, shelo yom roh over, and baruch zu, lo nich ner chanukah. Because otherwise people say, in this, over, baruch zu, lo nich he'll just say, he didn't put it. Avlom lo baruch achas, ma'al lebachmeh. If it's one direction, he could just do it in one. So it just says shtricha. And it says if you have a two directions, you need two candles. So it's not clear. It's not clear what you'd say. Oh, but it's not clear from the Rambam. But I'll tell you what, let me ask you a question. How many brachas? Let's say you have two windows. So how many brachas should you make? Should you make two brachas or one bracha? So a bracha of lahadlik, of lighting the candle. So you'd say the easy answer is one because you do it in one shot. I mean, what do you do? You just run, do one, and then run to the other one, right? If you light eight candles because it's eight night, you don't make eight brachas, right? So altogether, you think, what kind of question is that, right? So let me read you the Ron. I mean, the Ron's funny.
Well, even if there's a hefsek, I mean, if you have to relight it, then you don't have to know what you're going to
do. Well, that's a good question. I mean, if there's a hefsek, like, let's say, for instance, like via B'dikas Hametz or something, searching your house for Hametz. So let's say you have two houses. So I would think, if you do them continuously, so I say you make one bracha. But if you, I mean, if you chayv to dig on both, so if you have your mafsik, it means that you do one, and then you just, whatever, do another one the next night, let's say. If you have some sort of break, then I'd say they're both a mitzvah, and you have to do make a new bracha. Because unless they're somehow related. So let me do the Ron, and then we'll talk about, we'll continue this conversation in a second. So the Ron says, umestabra, and it seems from Svara, the kiman she'en l'malik elamishum chashada, since you're only lighting because of chashad, lo mavarech ela achad pesach. You only make a bracha on one of them. Okay? So, what's the implication? Yeah? Right. Well, it seems like if the halacha were intrinsically had a light, let's say the halacha were intrinsically had a light at both doors. There's an intrinsic halacha of Ner Chanukah, he had a light at both doors. Then he'd say you make two brachas. Now, what does he mean? I can't believe he means if there's no hafsek, if you just run from one to the other, it's one, you light them, right? So it must mean the case is talking about where there's a hafsek. There's a break in between. So you light one, then you take a long break, and then you say, oh, my other door. Right? So there's a break. So the bracha, in theory, wasn't going on both. So now if there were the halacha intrinsic, they had a light too, so then you'd have to make a new bracha, because on Ner Chanukah needs a bracha. But since it's only because of chashad, so therefore, you don't have to make a second bracha. In a second. Yeah, so what would you say then? So what does it sound like, Matt, on your question? Would you say that you yotze the mitzvah?
He left.
So what do you say?
Oh, Reza?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
If you light one, if you only light one, you yotze the mitzvah. So it sounds in the Ron, right, this is what you're saying, Adam. Sounds like, no, like you would be. Because he's saying is, you don't make a bracha on the second one because it's only because of chashad. But if you'll tell me that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is like both of them, right? So then it would seem that you wouldn't be, right? Seems like you, what do you mean? Then you should make a bracha. It sounds like he's saying it's only because of chashad. It sounds like it's something separate. Right? It sounds like it's a separate halacha. You don't say the mitzvah, but you have to like it's a chashad. And that leads me to one last question, which is a very strong question. Okay? I think. I think they asked this also. What's the halacha if I light my candle, and a minute after I light my candle, the wind comes and blows it out? That's... So it's a machlokas. Okay? It's a machlokas. Kavsa zakakla or kavsa ein zakakla? But we hold kavsa ein zakakla. You don't have to relight it. Okay? It's a gemara. But it's a machlokas, and we hold you don't have to relight it. Look, you already lit it. You did the ma'isa mitzvah near Chanukah. So he goes out, look, you do what you have to do. You have to light the candle. The wind came, that's not your problem. You did the mitzvah, it's a ma'isa mitzvah, you yotze, as long as you had enough oil that it would have lasted for that time, so then you yotze the mitzvah, you did the mitzvah properly. Right, exactly. Exactly. So Dr. J asked the right the question. He says, so what about chashad? I mean, it goes out after 1 minute, a guy walks by, sees there's no candle. Shouldn't you have to relight the candle because of chashad? But you don't. There's no halach like that. Okay?
So they see the menorah that it was
so they want to say that's one of the answers they get, is that people see the menorah. But it's hard. I mean, you don't see menorahs, you see lights. I mean, there's no halach, you don't even need a menorah. You know, you can just have a candle, you just have a light. I mean, I don't know, people don't necessarily... People, it's night. It's night time. People see lights. That's the idea of a light. People don't see, like, the darkness of your house, like a, you know. I mean, that's hard to say. It's hard to say they're going to see the menorah. Someone answered that. I saw, again, this also, he brought down a second did a bunch of answers. But that's hard. That's one of the answers they said. But I think it's hard to say. It's hard to say they can see the menorah. Because there's no halacha you have to have a menorah. Your silver, shiny menorah. Let's say it's a black menorah and it's a black house and it blends into the table. I don't know, right? I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, you don't see them. That's the idea of candles. Because candles are visible. So if that's the case, so what about chashad, right? I mean, shouldn't you say chashad? But you don't. Right? That's a good question. You know where this comes up also? I mean, I'll just mention parenthetically is that this also comes up by if you're a guest. Let's say you're a guest by some, or let's say you're on a road in a hotel or something, and your family lights for you, your wife lights for you, so you're really for the Yosef Mitzvah with her.
She's home,
lights for you at home, right? Or one's parents, let's say. So you're really potter. You're Yosef with your parents, but they say the Rambam says that anyways you should light anyways because chashad, people are going to see you, right? Nachsonai also. Nachsonai chips in with the gas, chips in with the Balbayas. But let's say that Nachsonai has his own little door. So then they say also, the Rif says he should light on his own. Well, I mean, we'll get to these. These are other parts of the Sugya, which are, I'm just kind of mentioning them. But this is where we're headed.